Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. With a title like Chief of Oahu for the firm Brains on Fire, John Moore is sure to be a fun person to talk to. And so that's why I've asked him to join us today. Actually, John has been a friend, mentor, and role model to me, and he is now also co-author of a very important book called The Passion Conversation, Understanding, Sparking, and Sustaining Word-of-Mouth Marketing. Welcome, John.
Hello, Denise. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, you know, I loved your book, but I have to say that the word passion and love are words that kind of seem out of place in the business world, but your book makes a strong case for why they aren't just relevant, they're actually vital concepts in today's business environment. So can you walk us through the thinking there?
Yeah, so that those whole terms of, you know, loving customers and having customers love a business, that does seem to be a little squishy, no doubt about it, because too many times we business people, we try to find ways to exploit opportunities, to leverage or to use customers to get what we want. And we think that that's just not quite right. We think that there's something flawed in that because, again, that's exploiting and leveraging. We think that brands should love customers more than leverage the customers. And I can go back along the way to an iconic American businessman, Henry Ford, who has been quoted as saying, a business that makes nothing but money is a poor business.
Hmm.
And I totally agree with that, because if all that a business is set up to do is to exploit their customers solely to profit off of their customers, they're going to be long-term-wise set up to fail. We at Brands on Fire believe that a business has a true obligation to make more than just money, but also to make meaning in the lives of people. Yes, a business has to be profitable to live another day, but those businesses, again, that exist solely to make money, they're not going to become a beloved brand. And one brand that I know very well that has become a beloved brand, Whole Foods Market.
Mm-hmm.
They are wildly profitable, but they're also a wildly passionate business. And it clearly shows that they love what they do, because the customer experience is true evidence of that. Pristine stores, happy employees, the products are right. And, you know, it has really built its business around making meaning in people's lives. The byproduct has been making a profit, too.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had the honor of hearing Walter Robb and John Mackey speak, and you can tell that they run their business with their hearts. I mean, it really, truly is an authentic love that you're talking about.
Yeah, and that, because they will, of course, use a term called conscious capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is in a way a lot of things that we're talking about. However, we go a little further and we say that for a brand to receive love from its customers, it must first be a brand worthy of being loved. And with that, it really is wanting to get personal, to get to know their customers. It is about the brand, again, wanting to find ways to help to improve the lives of their customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it strikes me that, especially when you go back to the Henry Ford quote, that this is not a new idea per se, but I think how you go about cultivating love and cultivating these relationships may be different in our environment today. And so one of the things I wanted to ask you about is that in your book, you talk about sparking conversations and you outline three motivations that help to spark conversations about brands and organizations. So can you talk about what those motivations are and maybe give us some examples?
Yeah. About 2 years ago, we came across a very rigorous study done by marketing researchers, and it is chock full of great advice. But they've gone out and they've studied what those conversation triggers are that people have about brands. And it comes down to three. The functional, there are emotional, or there are social triggers that spark a conversation about a brand. So let's take each one. A functional conversation about a brand deals with basically facts and figures, nuts and bolts stuff. This helps people to make a better decision on things to buy. For instance, you go to Google and you want to find what is the best phone for me, Android or iPhone. You're going to get back a lot of facts and figures, a lot of functional products, features and benefits, let's just say. And that is a functional trigger to spark a conversation. And if we're to continue with the Whole Foods type analogy here, functional conversations would be, let's say, talking about the value of kale, kale in your diet. What type of nutritional components of that? That right there is a functional conversation. And it's going to help someone to make a better decision about what their body needs to eat in order to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really emotional there, nothing really social there, but it's a nuts and bolts factual conversation. So that'd be functional.
Okay.
Now we know that people engage in social conversations about brands to impress their friends and their friends of friends. And it's also about trying to express their distinctiveness. And with this particular study here, it is actually a term that a lot of marketing tip researchers say, and that's social signaling is something that they use. It basically is that the visual sign, a visual cue, a signal to society that expresses someone's uniqueness. And we see this happen all the time online through Facebook and Twitter. We have friends who socially signal their uniqueness online all the time. And I'm talking about people that share a status update with a photo of their beautiful dinner at some extravagant place.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, they're signaling to folks, hey, you know what? I'm having an exquisite dinner at so-and-so place.
Right.
I must be special. You know. Or we have a friend who's always posting their Nike Fit updates. I just did a 5-mile run at a so-and-so clip. And, you know, they are telling folks something about them that's going to be distinctive. And we have, of course, a friend who will always find the opportunity to tweet about getting an upgrade to first class on Delta, let's just say. Again, socially signaling something unique about them. But this also happens in the offline space, too, because I see so many people carrying around Lululemon bags.
Mm-hmm.
That bag mostly signals something about the person. So that'd be functional, that'd be social. The third trigger that some of the academics have been able to pinpoint that can spark a conversation about a brand are going to be emotional triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about some emotional conversations about talking about a brand because it sparks some strong emotions ranging from love to hate, shock, to awe, to giggles, to glares.
Hmm.
Brands that have strong emotions are more likely to spark word-of-mouth conversations. Humor seems to work. Dos Equis, the most interesting man in the world. That right there makes you laugh. And that, of course, then also probably makes you want to talk a little bit more.
Right.
Let's go to cancer causes. That right there, cancer, it just brings up emotions. And it could bring up some positive, it could bring up some very, very negative emotions. It could bring up the fact of we must find ways to end cancer. And people can get very emotionally charged about it. When they're emotionally charged, they're going to talk. But if someone isn't emotionally charged, conversation doesn't happen. So that was functional, which is much more about factual information. Social, which talks about visually expressing what makes you special, unique, and emotional, which says there's some sort of emotional trigger, love or hate, that is going to spark a conversation.
Wow. Okay. That's a great overview. One of the things that I really appreciated about your book was the way that you went into detail into four different organizations that you worked with and really laid out the entire, it was even more than really a case story, it was the entire story. And one of those organizations was Anytime Fitness. And what I found really interesting about your work with them was that it involved identifying people inside the organization, so club owners and trainers, to actually lead the conversation about the brand. So can you talk about, you know, how you enrolled these people, what they did, and why they were so critical to achieving the company's goals?
Yeah. Let's go back a bit, because okay. One thing that we found out in talking to customers, talking to folks who are going to that gym, is the fact that so much of the conversation about becoming a member of a gym is very functional. That'd be reps, sets, and muscles. But we found out, though, that we found that there was an emotional conversation about wanting to work out. This is a company that has a credo to improve the self-esteem of the world. And we ended up really focusing in on people start to exercise so they can feel better about themselves, to improve their perception of themselves. However, much of the messaging that goes on about joining a gym and being part of a gym is about obtaining the perfect buffed out body. We wanted to help them to reframe the conversation, to rebel against the norm, to make it about being fitness on their own terms, about progress, not perfection. And thus, that was the core of why the fitness rebellion was born out of that mindset of about progress, not perfection. And so what we did to help create that community is we did look internally, because we knew that those employees connect directly with their gym members. And it was important to have trainers that are going to be there every day connecting with gym members be a part of this. So what we ended up doing was we put a call out on an internal company message board. And then we directed folks to go online to do a very detailed questionnaire. And we're talking about a good 20 questions, let's just say. It was very detailed, because we think that's a barrier. Because if you are really passionate and really want to be involved in it, you're going to go through a process to say, wait a minute, this is really serious. They've got 20 questions here. My goodness gracious. So of the folks that we did send out to, we had 100 people respond back to us. From that, we then had Skype conversations to find out who would be the best 25 people to lead this fitness rebellion movement. So again, we chose 25 people, and they were picked to help to share stories from gym members about how people were finding ways to go to the gym as opposed to finding ways not to go to the gym. Stories about what sort of change that they are feeling internally about themselves from getting into a regimen. And these were all stories that were posted online so that hopefully gym members and folks outside of Anytime Fitness would be able to be inspired by these stories of real people making real progress, not perfection, but just real progress and improving their own self-esteem.
That makes so much sense when you lay it out like that, with the heart of the brand and what really the brand was trying to do. It just makes it so, just makes so much sense that you would enroll those internal people. Well, John, it's been terrific talking with you today. For my listeners, I want to let you know that you should check out this book, The Passion Conversation. You can do that by going to the Brains on Fire website, brainsonfire.com, or you can actually go to the Twitter handle for Brains on Fire, which is Brains on Fire. And you can also interact with John directly through his own Twitter handle, which is Brand Autopsy. John, thank you so much for inspiring us today. I look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate being here.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.